Please have your Bibles at ready this morning as we consider the subject justification and sanctification. I have not taken a text today because this is a study of two great doctrines, but we will look at a lot of scriptures. Please be ready to look in your Bibles at these scriptures. Justification and sanctification. Some of the most fundamental errors in theology today involve the relationship of justification to sanctification. Some today have been led to base their hope of salvation on the work that the Holy Spirit does in them rather than on what Christ has done for them in His life and in His death. I want to read the definition of justification that our Baptist forefathers wrote in the Philadelphia Confession of Faith in 1743. This is not the Bible, but this is what Baptists historically have believed the Bible teaches. And so I read it to you. Justification is an act of God's free grace to sinners in which He pardons all their sins and accounts their persons righteous in His sight, not for anything done in them or by them, but only for the perfect obedience and full satisfaction of Christ imputed by God to them and received by faith alone, unquote. Now, that's more Bible theology than people will get in most churches in a lifetime today. But that's the gospel. Justification involves deliverance of a sinner from the guilt and penalty of sin. It involves pardon from sin. It is a legal term. Justification is a term from a court of law. It has to do with a person's legal standing before God. The word itself, justification, means acquittal, vindication. Justification gives a man a right standing before God as the lawgiver. Justification means to declare a man righteous before God. It is God stating, this man is righteous before me. It refers to a verdict of righteous before God, the judge. The man who has been justified is the man who has been accepted as righteous before the law. The ground of one's justification, that is, that because of which God declares him righteous, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, worked out in His perfect sinless life and His death on the cross for sinners. In justification, this righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to the sinner's account. That means the word is, it is imputed to him. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to the sinner's account or imputed to him when he believes the gospel. In other words, the sinner is justified by faith. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And in Romans 5:1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, sanctification. Let's consider that for a moment. Sanctification is defined by the Philadelphia Confession of Faith. And again, this is a summary of the biblical doctrine of sanctification. The Philadelphia Confession summarizes or or defines sanctification as, quote, the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness, unquote. The word sanctify means to make holy, and it involves cleansing from the pollution and defilement of sin. Sanctification is a process. Now, that's very important. It's not a one-time thing. Sanctification is a process in which the believer becomes less and less like the world all around him and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is something which the Holy Spirit of God works in a man, in his whole being, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's turn to that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This tells us that sanctification is something the Holy Spirit works in the whole being of a man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, that is, completely, totally, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sanctification is something that takes place in the whole man. Every part of man's being is involved. The instrument which the Holy Spirit uses in working sanctification in a man is the written Word of God, as we see in John 17:17. There the Lord Jesus prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the instrument of sanctification is the written Word of God. Sanctification is something in which the believer himself cooperates, as we read in Philippians 2:12-13, 2 Corinthians 7:1, and 1 John 3:3. Now I want us to read each one of these because it's so important. So first of all, turn to Philippians 2:12-13. We're emphasizing the fact, or the scripture here is emphasizing the fact, that sanctification is something in which the believer himself cooperates. Philippians 2:12-13, first of all. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The believer cooperates in that part of salvation, sanctification. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even that cooperation is a matter of God's grace, something God gives us, enables us to do. Next, look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Again, this scripture emphasizes how the believer cooperates in his sanctification. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, we have a responsibility, something that we must do in sanctification. The last one is 1 John 3:3. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him, that is his hope in Christ, specifically in Christ's return, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So sanctification is something that the believer himself cooperates in. And finally, in regard to sanctification, it involves a real and actual holiness in the life of the believer. It does not, and please put an asterisk by this, it does not involve an imputed or substitutionary holiness. Now, I want to run that by you again. You know, in justification, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. It's not ours. He imputes it to us. It's credited to our account. But sanctification involves a real and actual holiness in us, not one that is imputed or that somebody else did as a substitutionary work. Now, these two aspects of our salvation, justification and sanctification, go together. We must not separate them. They go together. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Here they are joined together in this scripture. Chapter 6, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says here, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified," there's sanctification, "but ye are justified," there's the other one, justification, "in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Now, Paul considers these two doctrines together in the book of Romans. In chapters 3 through 5 of the book of Romans, Paul deals with justification, while in Romans 6 through 8, he deals with sanctification. Now, it's really helpful to know that as we're reading through the book of Romans. He deals with sanctification in chapters 3 through 5, and justification in chapters 3 through 5, and sanctification in chapters 6 through 8. So justification and sanctification are inseparable from one another. The Puritan, Thomas Manton, was illustrating this fact when he said that, quote, "Under the law, the ablutions and oblations went together. That is, the washings and the sacrifices." Now, do you see the connection there? The washings, sanctification; the sacrifices, justification. The washings or ablutions spoke of cleansing and sanctification, while the sacrifices or the oblations had to do with justification and pardon. Now, another Puritan, Thomas Watson, illustrates how justification and sanctification go together from the statement of John 19:34 about the blood and water that issued forth from Christ's side at the cross. Blood for justification and water for sanctification. Turn to John 19 and verse 34. John chapter 19, verse 34. "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Now listen to Thomas Watson's comments on that. Quote, "Those who have not the water out of Christ's side to cleanse them shall never have the blood out of his side to save them," unquote. What he's saying is these two go together. They cannot be separated. Now, while it is true that these two great aspects of salvation go together and are inseparable, it is also true that they are quite distinct from each other as well. Justification and sanctification must never be mixed together in confusion, because they are two distinct things, even though they cannot be separated from each other. In this message, it is my purpose to look at some comparisons in which justification and sanctification are alike, and then to look at some contrasts in which they differ from each other. And hopefully by comparing and contrasting, we can gain a greater understanding of the relationship of justification and sanctification. So first, the comparisons. The things in which justification and sanctification are alike. Justification and sanctification are alike in that both of them are parts of God's great work of salvation. They're both involved in God's great work of salvation. Both are facets in the gem of God's wonderful salvation. I like to think about salvation like a huge diamond that has all kinds of facets on it. The whole stone is salvation, but each facet, there are many facets on there. Election, justification, sanctification, glorification, regeneration, and on we could go. But both justification and sanctification are facets on the gem, G-E-M, of God's wonderful salvation. Justification and sanctification, like election and predestination and regeneration and calling and adoption and glorification, are important aspects of God's great work of salvation. And you can sit there and look at that diamond all day and never plumb the depths of what is there. Secondly, both justification and sanctification spring from God's grace. Again, very important. Both justification and sanctification are matters of God's grace. His free grace. I like to say free grace. All grace is free, but some people don't understand it, so I like to say free grace. Turn to Romans 3:24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Here Paul says that justification is a matter of God's free grace. When he speaks here of being justified freely by His grace. Now turn to 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. And Paul speaks here of our sanctification as being according to God's own purpose and grace, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. That refers to sanctification. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Even the desire we have to be sanctified, to purify ourselves, is a matter of God's grace. God gives us that desire. Thirdly, justification and sanctification are alike in that both are found in the same persons. Both justification and sanctification are found in the same persons. If a man is being sanctified, he has already been justified. And if he has not been justified, then he is not being sanctified. God never, listen to this, God never gives sanctification without giving justification. And God never gives justification without giving sanctification. He never gives one without the other. As a matter of fact, we have no way of knowing whether we have been justified without sanctification. Without sanctification, there is no evidence of justification. And my friends, I submit to you that that is the greatest blight on American Christianity today, even in the so-called Calvinistic churches. All the emphasis is on justification, zero emphasis on sanctification. Nothing about holy living. And they can have the most ungodly, wicked songs in their churches and go right on talking about grace and Calvinism and justification and election. But without sanctification, there is no evidence of justification. Another Puritan, Richard Byfield, said it like this, quote, "The assurance of no condemnation," that's justification, is given not merely to those who believe, but to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's sanctification. Look at Romans 8:1 here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, that's justification, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, after having read that, let me read Richard Byfield's statement again. The assurance of no condemnation is given not merely to those who believe, but to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is absolutely vain for a person to think that he has faith without a sanctified life to go with it. Absolutely vain. Someone else has said that as the sun can never be without light, so neither can the righteousness of justification be without the holiness of sanctification. Finally, justification and sanctification are alike in that both of them are necessary for a person to get to heaven. You have to have justification and sanctification to get to heaven. A man must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to his account, imputed to him in justification, in order to be accepted with God. God won't accept anybody that doesn't stand before Him in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And a man must have the personal holiness of sanctification in order to be fit for heaven. Hebrews 12:14 is speaking about the holiness of sanctification when it says, "Follow after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." You don't have holiness, you'll never see the Lord. These then are some of the things in which justification and sanctification are alike. Now let's look at some contrast between the two, some ways in which they differ from one another. First, justification and sanctification differ in that one is a legal thing while the other is an experiential thing. One of them's a legal matter, the other's an experiential matter. Justification is a legal act. It is the act of God's declaring or accounting a person righteous. It is the announcement of God's verdict on the sinner who stands in the person of Christ. It does not make a person righteous. It declares him righteous. Sanctification, however, means to make righteous or to make holy. Justification is a judicial act by which a sinner is pronounced righteous, while sanctification is a moral work by which a sinner is made holy. Justification declares a change in the relationship of the sinner to the justice of God. Sanctification makes a change in the character of the sinner. Justification is a legal transaction which involves a change in the sinner's standing before God, his deliverance from guilt. Sanctification is an experiential thing which has reference to the sinner's nature and the moral renewal of his heart. In other words, it refers to his state. Justification refers to his standing. Sanctification refers to his state. Or, stated another way, justification is based entirely on the work of Christ for us, while sanctification is a work of the Spirit of God in us. Justification is by a righteousness outside of us. That is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ that he worked out in his sinless life and his substitutionary death on the cross. And so justification is by a righteousness outside of us, while sanctification is a holiness worked in us. One is outside, one is inside. Justification is a work of God's grace toward men, while sanctification is a work of God's grace within men. Or, stated still another way, justification is an objective thing, having reference to something completely outside and apart from the sinner, while sanctification is a subjective thing which takes place within the believing sinner. Objective and subjective. Now, we're talking about how justification and sanctification differ in that justification is a legal matter while sanctification is an experiential matter. In justification, the believer is judicially delivered from the guilt and curse of the law, while in sanctification, the believer is practically delivered from the dominion and pollution of sin. Or, as someone else has stated it, justification cancels sin's damning power, while sanctification delivers from sin's reigning power. A second way in which justification and sanctification differ from one another is that one involves imputation, while the other involves impartation. Imputation and justification, impartation in sanctification. One involves imputed righteousness, that is, the crediting Christ's righteousness to the believer's account. One involves imputed righteousness, the other involves imparted righteousness. The righteousness that justifies a man is imputed or credited or reckoned to a man so that he is treated as righteous by God. And this righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he accomplished in his perfect life and his death on the cross for sins. It's what Paul calls in Romans 3, 21 and 22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. But the holiness that's involved in sanctification is not just credited or imputed to a man. In sanctification, the person involved is actually made holy. Holiness becomes characteristic of his nature. Ever known a holy person? Ever known a holy man, a holy woman? All of us ought to be. We are if we've been justified and are being sanctified. The righteousness which justifies was accomplished in a common representative of all the elect. But the holiness of sanctification is accomplished in each individual personally. That's quite a difference. In justification, something is only imputed, but in sanctification, something is actually imparted, given to the believer, worked in him by the Spirit. Sadly, there are those today who see the doctrine of imputed righteousness as an easy way out of the responsibility to live a holy life. But justification by faith alone is not an alternative for personal holiness, as one preacher has said. The garments of Christ's righteousness must not be made a cloak for sin. That's what these antinomians are doing today. There is far more to salvation than just a legal transfer of our sins to Jesus Christ and of his merits to us. A third thing in which justification and sanctification are seen to contrast is in the fact that one involves the guilt of sin while the other involves the pollution of sin. Sin produces two chief effects in a man. Sin does two things to us. It produces guilt in us, and it produces pollution in us. Salvation from sin involves a clearing of the man from his guilt and a cleansing of the man from his pollution and defilement. Justification is that aspect of salvation which removes a man's guilt, his obligation to punishment. Sanctification is that aspect of salvation which cleanses a man's pollution and defilement. Turn to Romans 8, 33 and 34. Romans 8, 33 and 34. This deals with the removal of a man's guilt in justification when Paul says there, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?" So you see, it has to do with guilt and justification. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 7, 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 deals with the removal of the filth and pollution of sin, the cleansing of a man from the defilement of his sin. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Justification and sanctification also contrast or are different in that one involves title to heaven, while the other involves fitness for heaven. Justification gives me the title to eternal life, and sanctification makes me fit for that eternal life. There are two things essential for a person to dwell with God in heaven. You have to have these two things. One must have a title to his inheritance in heaven. That's what he gets at justification. And he must have a personal fitness to go there. Justification gives the believer title to his inheritance in heaven. Sanctification makes him personally fit to go there. In Romans 5:12, Paul speaks of justification of life because it entitles its subject to eternal life. Those justified are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's Titus 3:7. Heirs of the inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in the heavens. Thus, justification gives the believer title to heaven. Sanctification, on the other hand, makes the believer fit for heaven. It prepares him for heaven. Sanctification makes the believer holy. It works in him that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Now, did you notice what that said and what it did not say? Hebrews 12:14. Holiness, not righteousness. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, it's true that without righteousness no man shall see the Lord. You have to have the righteousness of Christ to see the Lord. But Paul is emphasizing sanctification here, and he speaks about holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. One must actually be holy to see God and to have fellowship with Him and to enjoy His holy presence. Oh, what fellowship could an unholy Christian have with a holy Father, a holy Christ? A fifth contrast between justification and sanctification is in the fact that one is an instantaneous act, while the other is a gradual and continuous process. Again, this speaks to this antinomianism that's sweeping our churches today. Justification is an instantaneous act, and sanctification is a gradual and continuous process. There are no degrees in justification. You can't be more justified tomorrow than you are today, and more today than you were yesterday. Justification is a single instantaneous act, One is never more justified than he once was. Sanctification, on the other hand, is a continuous process. In the Bible, the believer is constantly told things like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1 that we just read. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Sanctification is a process that God begins in the believer in the new birth. That's when it begins, at regeneration. God begins it in the new birth, and he continues to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Philippians 1:6. Let's turn and read that, even though you have it memorized. I'm sure that most of you have this memorized. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that is regeneration, and sanctification begins there, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, these two aspects of salvation differ from one another in that one of them involves a perfect righteousness, while the other involves an imperfect holiness. The righteousness of justification is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he worked out in his sinless life and his substitutionary death for sinners. The righteousness because of which God justifies a believer is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is not the believer's own righteousness. But the righteousness of sanctification is the believer's own righteousness. It is imparted to him. It is worked in him by the Holy Spirit, but it is still mingled with much imperfection. There's nobody here that's completely holy. Never will be till he's glorified. Finally, a seventh contrast between justification and sanctification is seen in the fact that one involves faith only, while the other involves faith plus works. Maybe this is why so many preachers are afraid to deal with this. It's just hard for their lips to utter faith plus works. No need to fear that. It's biblical. In justification, our own works have no place at all. Brother, it doesn't matter what you do, you cannot have any part in your own justification. Faith in Christ is the one thing that's necessary in justification. The holiness of justification is not the holiness after which we are to follow in this life. If it were, justification would involve works, because following after involves effort, does it not? Exertion, work. Turn to Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Romans 4 and verse 5. Paul says here, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But in sanctification, our own works are very important. And God urges us to fight and to watch and to pray and to strive and to labor. Sanctification is not by faith alone. That's not heresy. That's Bible. Sanctification is not by faith alone. It is by faith and works. The believer must cooperate in his sanctification. He must receive the Word of God. He must rely on its promises. He must struggle against sin. He must cleanse himself. He must follow after holiness. And there is no sanctification without these things being done in and by the believer. Turn to Philippians again. Turn to Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul is speaking of sanctification here, when he says for us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in us, causing us to will and to do. But God doesn't do the willing. And God doesn't do the doing. The believer does. So, in conclusion, there are some points in which justification and sanctification agree, but there are also some very important points at which they differ as well. Though justification and sanctification are inseparable, they are also nevertheless quite distinct and must never be confused and mixed together in our minds. I wonder if the Lord has revealed to you that there is no difference, that there is no evidence of justification in your life because there is no true sanctification taking place in your life. Has the Lord revealed that to you? Are you being more and more separated from sin and from the world and more separated to God and to His service? Is there a real longing for holiness in your heart which comes through in your life and in your conduct? Friend of mine, if there is not a real longing for holiness in you, and if you are not being more and more conformed to the image of Christ, then justification is what you need first of all. You need to come to God in faith, claiming only the righteousness and death of Jesus Christ as your hope of acceptance with God. You must come with the testimony of the hymn writer. And we sang a little earlier, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're grateful for these two great doctrines. And, Father, we confess that we have confused them and that we have ignored one to the overemphasis on the other. And, Father, we recognize that in the churches today, it is almost, if there is even justification, it's almost only justification and no sanctification that is insisted upon. We pray that you would correct this error through this preacher's life and through his preaching and through all of your preachers and your people. We pray for those here who've never trusted in Christ for justification. We pray that today, by the working of your Holy Spirit, they might believe in the doing and dying of Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray that all of us would be more sanctified, that we would become more concerned with our sanctification. And we pray all these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace, the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816-761-7184. Email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us Or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.